Welcome to Zenly Organized, a podcast that explores concrete ways to better organize yourself so you can live a fulfilling, meaningful, and Zen life. In short, the life you truly want and deserve. My name is Sarah, and here I talk about productivity tips, minimalism, goal setting, habit formation, personal development, self-care, and much more. Don't forget to subscribe or miss a new episode and go to zenlyorganized.com to find episode transcripts, downloadable worksheets, and more tips. Now, sit comfortably, grab a drink, and get ready to change your life for the better. Hello, Zen Organizers. I hope you're well. In the past few weeks, I've discussed with many of you to get to know you better and also understand your needs better because I'm currently planning the content calendar for Q2, so from April to June. I tried to plan a bit in advance because this way I have a better idea of what to prepare and everything. So, you know, Zenly organized. By the way, if you want to help me with that, if we haven't discussed or you haven't filed the survey I'm currently doing with this intent to get to know you better and know your needs better, the survey will be active until the end of March. So if you want to help me create content that will answer your needs and that will be useful for you, you can find the survey in the episode transcript, which will be linked in the episode's notes, or you can also find it at zenlyorganized.com. It takes less than 5 minutes, and that would really, really help me. So thank you very much to all of you who will take the time to answer the survey. So anyways, one of the elements that kind of every single one of you mentioned to me while we were discussing either on Instagram or Facebook or people that I know. I also asked like some of my friends and everything. Everybody told me that they lose most of their time on social media. And, you know, I mean, I'm not oblivious. I know that social media is like a major time waster, but I didn't think that like literally everybody has this problem. Like I even talked to some of my close friends that I know well, and you know, I know they're organized and they tend to be kind of productive or like, and use their time wisely. And even them told me that they struggle with social media. So I just kind of realized this is a major topic that I should cover here because, you know, like our time is very precious. It's, I think, the most precious resource we have. So we should really use it intentionally and meaningfully, especially if you feel like you don't have enough time to do everything you'd like to do. Then maybe looking at your social media use and consumption, that might be kind of one of the aspects you could work on to gain more time. So today's episode will kind of try to do that. So, you know, I'm not saying that social media is bad. I use social media. I mean, I love it. I also spend some time on it. But I think what's really important is to cut back on the mindless screen time. You know, like when you're kind of bored and just go and scroll down your newsfeed, that's what I think is not the best use of your time. But of course, if you go on social media consciously and you're, you know, like you comment and you consume content because you also appreciate the content and everything, that's something else. So here we'll really focus on like mindless use or not like conscious use of social media. So okay, let's dive right into it. But first, I just wanted to make sure we all have the same definition of social media. So I'll just kind of, I use the definition from the Merriam-Webster dictionary, which I think kind of captures all the aspects of social media. So their definition is that social media are forms of electronic communication, such as websites for social networking and microblogging, through which users create online communities to share information, ideas, personal messages, and other content, such as videos. So as per this definition, social media can also include blogs, forums, social networks, photo and video sharing apps, etc. And by the way, as always, I will cite some sources during this podcast. So if you want to check them out, they'll be in the episode transcript on the blog. So if you want to dive more into the subject, you can find some resources there. So before we kind of go into the tips and on how to reduce your time on social media, I wanted to first talk about why it's so hard to resist social media. Because I feel like if you know how they work and like on the negative impacts they can have, it's kind of easier to reduce the time you spend on them because you kind of understand their mechanisms and also like the impacts they can have. So let's just start with that. I'm not going to spend hours on that because I'm no expert. But yeah, just like a quick overview of that. So also, as we'll see below, social media has some benefits and they're like not bad per se. So as I'll just like repeat myself, I also love social media, so I'm not here to like demonize anything. But they are designed on purpose to make you spend as much time as possible on them. So that's kind of like a problem in my opinion, because like most of them are free because the currency they use isn't money, but it's like your time, your attention, and your data. I feel like it's kind of pernicious because, you know, if it's money, you're kind of conscious of that. But if it's like your time, your attention, your data, these are things that we don't really think about, but that's actually what they are selling. Not to you, but to advertisers, because the more attention and time you dedicate to social media apps, and the more data they gather about you, and that's how they make profit, because they get paid by advertisers to either get more of your attention and time through like direct ads on the apps, or also through your data, which they then use to show you specific apps that will appeal to you. So, you know, if you want to learn more about that, the documentary, The Social Dilemma, which is available on Netflix, provides really like interesting insights on how social media work and like really kind of the algorithms and everything. So if you're interested in that, I really recommend watching this documentary. That's kind of where I got some of this information about how they operate. So yeah, so the problem with social media, so now you know like what's their goal, let's say, and the problem is the how they get you to stay on their apps, because they rely on like some of our most profound instincts to get us hooked. And here again, I think it's kind of pernicious, you know, to use our like instincts and the way we are wired kind of against us. So two main, let's say, instincts they use is our craving for community, you know, to be a part of something or of a larger group, and also our natural interests in others. And like this one was a direct quote from a book from Jenny Odell, which I will also link. So they really rely on our sense of community, our need as humans to be in community, and also like our curiosity about what other people are doing, you know, like who isn't stalked somebody from their past on Facebook or Instagram. So they kind of rely on that. Social media also rely on physiological phenomena such as dopamine release, which makes them addictive, just as drugs, alcohol, and nicotine. So I think this is kind of where it becomes a bigger problem, because this is something like it's really hard to control, you know, like your curiosity or like wanting to belong to a community. I feel like it's a bit more like, I don't know, noble. You know, it's not like too bad, of course, until like you start comparing yourself. Like it has also its negative impacts, but I feel like the addictiveness of social media is really becoming a huge problem. And this is because like of how our brain is wired and how we like rewards and what feels good. So, you know, what I wanted to just like leave you here, it's that it's not really your fault if it's hard to resist to social media. They are designed to be addictive. They are designed to get you on there and spend as much time as possible. But I think you should really, really keep that in mind when you use them, because this way, you know how they work, you know what's their intent, and so you can kind of consciously decide that you don't want to be a part of it. Of course, if you suffer from addiction, like literal addiction, you know, like you can't spend a few minutes without looking at your feed and, you know, you're like always thinking about it and everything. This is a really serious condition. So then I would really, really suggest you go and check on with your doctor or a psychologist, because this is a real mental issue. But if you have just like, you know, most people are just kind of drawn to social media when they're bored or they don't know what to do, then it's going to be probably a bit easier to reduce the time you spend on social media, because it's not like a mental issue. It's just kind of a habit you've taken, and as any habit, you can undo it. And that's what the tips I'm going to give you in a bit will help you with. But before we get to the tips, if you've listened to the other episodes or read my articles, you know that I like to kind of mention both the advantages and disadvantages and the pros and cons of anything. So let me just do this with social media as well, because as I already said, I don't think they're bad per se, especially, you know, since many of you probably wouldn't be here without them. So I also love and actively use social media, both for my personal and professional life. And honestly, I can't imagine living without them anymore. So, you know, they do have some benefits. For example, you know, they're a great way to stay in touch with your friends and family, even if you're not able to see them often. You know, for example, my family lives on the other side of the ocean, and most of my friends also, and I have friends from all over the world, so it would be really hard to maintain contact if apps like Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, or others didn't exist. So, you know, that's a great way to communicate, especially, for example, in the pandemic. I've realized, you know, during the Spanish flu pandemic, like people that were apart would had to write letters that, you know, arrived maybe like weeks later. Maybe they didn't even know people were dead and like, or that were sick. So it's like, we're really lucky to have social media today to be able to communicate, like super quickly with anyone, or almost anyone, of course, somewhere else. So this is a great advantage. They're also amazing to find or build communities of like-minded people that wish to exchange on a given topic. You know, with these communities, you can learn from the experience of thousands of other people, grow with them, you can even make new friends. So this is another really great aspect. And as I said, that's something social media relies on. So our need to build a community, our need to relate to other people. So, but this is kind of one of the great aspects of social media. Plus, I mean, social media also helped create social movements, you know, in this case, some positive movements and some unfortunately not so positive ones, but still, I mean, it can help, advance some social issues and, you know, like just bring awareness to more people. So this is another great aspect. And also, these platforms offer an infinite quantity of free content, you know, that can teach you valuable things, where you can learn a lot. And there are also powerful marketing tools for small businesses that might not have the means to reach this many people otherwise, you know. So there are probably many other advantages to social media, but these like seem the most important ones to me. So as you can see, you know, and you probably already know that because you use them as well, they are not themselves completely bad. You know, social media is not bad in itself. Just like any tool, you have to use them mindfully and intentionally and not kind of compulsively and randomly. So if you keep in mind that they are meant to spend, like, to have you spend time on them, and, you know, they're looking for, they use some of our instincts and the way we are wired to keep you on there, well, just keep that in mind and, you know, use them carefully and consciously, and there's no problem with them, you know? So that's what I wanted to kind of pass on today. So now let's get into the, let's say, important content of this episode, which is the tips to help you use social media more consciously and waste less time on them. So I tried to group the tips more or less in categories, but it's kind of, yeah, difficult. So the first kind of category I found was like to limit access to the apps or sites themselves. So you probably know that, but it's kind of the easiest way to go. So the tips, I kind of put them in order of hardcoreness. So the first one, a bit for if you're not like a compulsive user, maybe these are good. If it's really hard for you to resist, then maybe use the last ones. So the first tip I wanted to share with you is one that actually one of my friend told me about. So she uses a great strategy to limit her use of social media. She basically just like regularly changes the position of the apps on her phone, so to make it harder to find them and use them when she only has a few minutes. Because I think that this is something that a lot of us do. They're just like, oh, I have 2 minutes before it's my turn at the cashier. So like, I'll just look on Facebook or just like look on Instagram for 2 seconds and then, you know, pay my things and leave. So, but if you have to like find your app on your phone, then maybe this, you know, you thought you had like 2 minutes. Well, it takes you like 30 seconds, 1 minute to find it. And then you're like, yeah, you know what? It doesn't even make sense to use it. So I think that this is a great tip if you just like, you know, if you use it, especially in these kind of off moments, just like for short periods of time, I think this is kind of a great tip and it's like easy. It doesn't cost a thing. Another tip is to, of course, disconnect your accounts every time you use them. So log off every time you use them and then log in every time you want to use them. So this is the same thing, you know, like if you use them for like short periods, the time you take to log in, you might just be like, yeah, it's not worth it, you know, so you won't use them. However, with this tip, the problem is like you have to remember to log off every single time because otherwise it won't work. And it's like also easy to cheat yourself, you know, because you're like, oh yeah, no, I just won't log off for this time. And then you end up always using your social media accounts anyways. So that's why I told you to know this is kind of like easy tips if you don't have such a big problem with social media consumption. Another option, this one is a bit like harder and it involves other people, so make sure they're okay with that before. So it's like you might ask like your partner or your brother or sister, roommate, or, you know, basically anyone that lives with you to change the passwords to your accounts and not give them to you. So this way they are the only ones that can log you in. And so, you know, you always have to ask kind of their permission to log in. So this may be great, for example, if you're working from home at the moment or studying in general, you know, and you tend to spend a lot of time on social media instead of doing what you should do, then this might be kind of a great tip. This way, you know, you kind of have to tell the person, you know, I did this, I did that, so now I can use my social media as kind of a reward. This, you know, this is also a tip that you have to use if you're able to control yourself, kind of, because you can always change the password yourself and, you know, just like log in and bypass your partner in crime. So yeah, that's another tip. Also, like one tip that is kind of interesting, I think everybody should do that like every now and then, is to check your screen time on the apps. Most apps allow you to see the time that you spend on their app. And for example, Facebook and Instagram, they also allow you to set a reminder to notify you that you've spent a selected amount of time on it every day. So I'll leave the explanations on the blog on how to go to the settings and get that, get to the set like timer setting. I think that, like, for example, the reminders on Facebook and Instagram, they're kind of useless, let's say, because, you know, they give you the reminder and like, oh, you've spent 15 minutes on the app already today, you know, if you've set it for 15 minutes, for example. And then there's just like, okay, or like, I think there's Facebook, you can like block it for a bit for 10 minutes, but then you can go back on it. So it's kind of, you know, yes, they're trying to show that they want to help you limit your time on their apps, but then not really. So here again, this is like a tip you should use if you're able to control yourself, like, or to limit yourself, or if you just want to kind of get a better idea of how much time you really spend on these apps, because we tend to kind of underestimate the time we spend on these apps. So also, if you just kind of want to know the time you spend, your screen time on these apps, this is kind of a great place to check. Maybe like you can check it regularly, you know, like maybe every Sunday, check your usage for the week. And this way you can you kind of get an idea of like the time you actually use to be on social media. And maybe like you can realize, oh, I spent 2 hours. What else could I do with these 2 hours? You know, 2 hours a week is like a pretty big amount of time. So you could do maybe, you know, if you want to work out more, you know, you have 2 hours where you could work out instead of going on social media. So, you know, just like kind of brings you to reflect on the time you have and how you use it. If you need a more hardcore solution, you know, like you really have to block apps and like not be able to go back on it, because otherwise it's really hard for you to resist, you should definitely install some app blockers on your phone and your computers. Your computer. I'll also link in the episode description a few articles that summarize some of the best apps for that, because I personally don't use them. I've heard of many like Forest and Offtime and a few others, but then you can really compare them. One of these articles also has like a table where it compares the apps. So there are some free ones, there are some paying ones, so you can go and check that out if you really need like this hardcore solution. Some of these apps, they are like really powerful, like even if you shut down your computer and restart it, the app is still blocked for the amount of time you set. So, you know, if this is something you need, definitely go check these articles. And finally, like the last solution in this kind of category is to delete the apps on your phone. So if you mainly use social media on your phone, this is a great way to kind of cut down your time, because, you know, we tend to have our cell phones on us at all times nowadays. So it's easy to just be like, you know, when you go to the bathroom, or when I was always saying, if you're waiting in line somewhere, or, you know, waiting for an appointment, it's so easy to just kind of open them and spend time like scrolling down your newsfeed without a goal in mind. So if you feel like deleting your apps, this is kind of a good tip as well. But it's a bit drastic. Like you have to see if you're able to do that, if you want to do that. So the next category of tips I called set specific moments to use them or not use them. So this kind of, I just wanted to talk to you before that about an experience I had. Now, I think it was like 7 years ago. That's a long time. Wow. I went for 3 weeks in Cuba. basically like mostly in La Habana. And at that time, Wi-Fi was not available on the island. It was only available in a few hotels. So, and it was with my college. So we were like 10 students all together. And this is like one of the best moments of my life, because for 3 weeks we were like completely present at all times, because there were no phones, no cell phone reception. So like we spent our evenings just like, you know, talking and like playing dominoes, like and having fun. And it was so nice because everybody was super, super present. And I hadn't like had this impression in a long time, because at that time, like cell phones in Canada had already been kind of common for like 2-3 years. So it was like a bit of years that I hadn't spent time with friends without anybody like looking at their phone, their social media account, etc. So it was really nice. And like, I was really impressed, because the minute we set foot on Canadian soil, like I swear, the minute the plane landed, everybody just kind of took their phones out and was just like back to, oh my gosh, I have like messages and I have to tell everybody and I have, you know, to send messages. And I was like, guys, we just spent like 3 weeks without our cell phones and it was like wonderful. And then the minute, you know, we had access to our Wi-Fi and like our data again, everybody was back to, you know, just like being obsessed with social media and like sending messages. And I mean, I understand, because, you know, you just got back, you left for 3 weeks, so you want to tell everybody you're back and everything. But it's just like, it really marked me, the fact that when we didn't have access to it, it was like beautiful. We spent so many lovely moments. And then the minute we had access to it, like everybody just kind of went back to business as usual. So, you know, just like a thought about that. So I think that it's really important that we set some moments in our days, in our week, to spend with our loved ones without technology, without having devices. And I feel like it's really hard, but, and I'm not like judging anybody, but because I do it as well, you know. But I think that we should really try to define some moments, you know, for example, with your friends and family, you can be like, no devices while you eat, you know, like meals are device-free moments, or Saturday evenings, for example, you know, are device-free, and you just kind of spend your time with your friends or family, you play games, you talk, but nobody has devices. So if it's really hard, you know, you can have kind of a specific jar or a place where everybody like must leave their devices and rigorously on airplane mode, you know, because otherwise people will be tempted to go check their phone if it vibrates or chimes. But just like have a device-free moment once a week, I'd say at least once a week. But if you can do like every like dinner with your partner or your family, you know, if it can be device free, I think this is fantastic, just to kind of spend quality time together. So this is one thing. You can also define a specific length of time, or better yet, a specific moment during your day in which you can use social media and like stick to it. You know, if you can tell yourself that you can use it for 30 minutes during your lunch break, for example, and then another 30 minutes right after dinner. But, you know, apart from these two moments in the day, try not to use them. So, you know, like you consciously decide to spend 1 hour on social media, and then that's it. You know, the rest of the day you do other things. So maybe try, for example, I have some set moments to look at my Instagram for Zenly Organized, which is roughly between noon and like 12 and 12:30 p.m. And then another time just like after dinner, just to check up on my things. And I try to stick to that as much as possible. Of course, it's for like a professional use. So sometimes if I receive a message or something, I will look at it. But for personal use, try to really set moments and a duration and stick to that. So that's where like the reminders of your daily screen time can help you. Also just like to look at the stats, you know, of how much time you spend to kind of decide what is a correct, like, like the right amount of time for you to spend on social media or your devices in general. Another really great tip, I think, is to leave cell phones out of your bedroom. You know, you should have a power down hour before your bedtime in which you don't use devices of any kind. I mean, like no cell phone, no computer, even e-readers emit blue light, and blue light disrupts your sleep pattern. So really, like an hour before bed, read, talk to your partner, or like maybe phone calls are okay. You know, call someone, read a book, do yoga, meditate, draw, you know, do something that doesn't require a device, because it will just help you kind of have this hour during the day where maybe you do things that you don't have time to do and otherwise because you spend it on social media or at work, you know, like replying to emails at 10 p.m., 10:30 p.m. No, like before going to bed, just take an hour for yourself, do things that you like to do, and it will just help you wind down for bed and also like helps you sleep better. I think it's like also good to maybe refrain from looking at your phone first thing in the morning. I mean, who wants to see work emails or things like that when you just wake up? You know, give yourself some time to wake up, enjoy the morning, you know, maybe like go outside a few minutes, take a bit of sunshine, just like stretch, drink your coffee, your tea, talk to your partner or your family. And then after like, I'd say at least 15 or to 30 minutes after waking up, then maybe have a look at your phone. But try to, yeah, have like, before going to bed and when you wake up, like device-free moments, just to enjoy life without technology. So those are were the, like the tips about like specific moments to use your phone. The other category I found was kind of to deprogram your brain to reach for social media when you're bored. So this one is one of my favorites because I feel like we are in a society where doing nothing is like seen really badly, but you know, being bored and like not doing anything, but just kind of letting your mind wander. I'm not saying like you should do that 2 hours every day, but you know, like so from time to time, it's okay to just like do nothing, not be busy, not be productive, and just like to be present, you know? And these moments are really good because this is like when our mind wanders, this is where we have like good ideas, where we kind of connect information together and get insights and everything. So, you know, especially off moments, like when you go to the bathroom, which is like a classic one where everybody like looks at their phone, or like when you're queuing or, you know, waiting for your meal to reheat or something, you know, just kind of don't reach for your phone. You just kind of let your mind wander, maybe like visualize what you want, like your goals, what you maybe want your weekend to look like, you know, just kind of be present or be present, you know, just like look around. I really like looking at how people, you know, behave and just kind of maybe if you're outside, look at nature. It's just like small moments, but instead of like always reaching for your social media, just enjoy being there in the moment and not like doing something. Also, you'd be surprised like how many ideas and insights like you can have in these moments. It's really incredible. I have a lot of my ideas in these like useless moments. So this is something I think we should all work on, to be like less focused on always doing something and kind of enjoy some of these small moments in which nothing specific happens. Also, if you're bored, instead of like reaching automatically to your cell phone, which is something I also do, but I'm trying to work on that, is like instead of doing that, just try to do something that will nourish you instead of like mindlessly scrolling down your newsfeed. You know, for example, you can reach for a book or like your e-reader, or there are also like book apps on your phone that if you want some suggestions, I can maybe do an article on that. But yeah, you know, like instead of reaching for a phone, reach for a book. This will nourish your mind. You can listen to podcasts like this one where you can learn some things, or, you know, like a funny podcast and then where you'll just like kind of entertain yourself, but it's like a different kind of entertainment than social media. You can maybe like doodle something in your notebook, do a quick stretching exercise, you know, just kind of do things instead of reaching for social media and just like unconsciously just go through your feed without really paying attention to it. Just use these small moments to do something that instead will kind of refresh your mind, because going on social media is not really like a refreshing break. I don't really consider it like a break, especially because, you know, if you work before, like in front of a computer the whole day, you just like in front of another screen and everything. So just kind of try to do something else than reach for your phone. And you'll see it's hard at the beginning to kind of deprogram your brain to automatically grab your phone when you're bored. But try to actively notice when you tend to do that and choose something else, like consciously choose another activity instead. Another tip I have for you is to be aware of the content you consume. So in the documentary, The Social Dilemma, it was very interesting because the person that created the recommended video option on YouTube tells people not to watch recommended videos or content on social media. Because like they are designed to kind of get you down the rabbit hole of spending hours without being aware of it, you know? So instead, consciously decide what content you want to consume. Never go for the recommended content. If, you know, maybe a title in the recommended content seems interesting, then look for it yourself, but don't click on the recommended content. So this was something I really found interesting. I personally, for example, on YouTube, I know many people tend to just kind of watch, like, you know, start watching a video on neuroscience and end up like watching donkeys or, you know, like weird things like that, because they just kind of watch recommended videos one after the other, and they just like ended up somewhere completely different and maybe that they didn't even, you know, want to spend time on. So this is something you should really be aware of. They're also like, he recommended to use search engines that don't store your search history. Like he suggested Quant. I had never heard about that, but I think there's also like Ecosia and a few others that kind of don't record your search history. Also, there are some browser extensions that can block recommendations. So this also helps you kind of to avoid having recommended content. If this is something you fall for often, maybe try to look into that. Also, I think you should periodically audit the accounts, pages, people you follow, and eliminate irrelevant accounts that don't bring like anything positive to your life, or, you know, that maybe spur negative emotions. You know, if there are some accounts that make you kind of jealous or envious, or that kind of foster like a poor self-esteem, then I'd definitely say delete these accounts and these pages, because the environment you are in influences who you become. So, you know, if you have like negative content or content that makes you negative about yourself or about your life, or like irrelevant content, this will have an influence on your life. So just like you should choose your friends wisely, also choose the content you consume wisely. And the last kind of category I had is to eliminate distractions when you're working. I mean, this is an obvious one, but as I said, you can either use like an app blocker, or when you're working, I really suggest to put like your phone straight on on airplane mode. And even if you can, in another room entirely, because I don't know about you, but if my phone is next to me, even if it's on airplane mode, I kind of have the temptation to look at it. So, this is every time, if you watch my episode on multitasking and cognitive switching, every time you kind of stop working on something and get distracted, like it takes you time to come back to the task you were doing. So every time you're just like, you know, you're working on something and you look at your phone and then go back to working on your task, you lose your attention. Some of your attention stays on the looking at your phone and not on the task you're working on. So if you can just like put your cell phone entirely somewhere else, this will be much better. I'm completely against this culture of having to be available 24/7, even like, especially at work. I think that in most cases, unless you have like a, you know, maybe you're a CEO or something, then maybe you do need to be available at all times. But I think that in most cases, you know, people can wait 20, 25 minutes for a reply. If you know me, I really love the Pomodoro technique, in which like you work for 25 minutes and then take a 5-minute break. So, you know, during those 25 minutes, like it's very unlikely there will be like an emergency that requires you to like be available at the, you know, at the minute the message is sent, you know, so kind of be like, allow yourself to be unavailable for like 20, 25 minutes while you work. Then when you take your break, look at your phone if you have like important emails, important SMS or calls. But then when you go back to work, put it back somewhere else, put it back on airplane mode and just like focus on your work. You'll get so much more done this way. And I mean, I don't think your boss will mind you being like more productive because you didn't reply to his email within the 5 minutes after it was sent, you know. So I just talked to you about the Pomodoro technique. So this is another tip I suggest you use when you work. So as I said, you just kind of work 25 minutes and then take a 5-minute break. And the important thing with this technique is to focus completely on your task during the 25 minutes. So no distractions, no social media, no SMS, no phone calls, no emails. Just focus on your work. And then you take a 5-minute break and then you repeat that for 4 cycles. So 4 cycles of 25 minutes of work with a 5-minute break. And then you can take a longer break of like 15, 20, 30 minutes, maybe an hour if it's lunchtime. So the Pomodoro technique is really great to reduce distractions while you work and also reduce your use of like social media, for example. So guys, here we are. Those were like, I think more 15 or 16 tips to regain control over your time and spend less time on social media and devices in general. So I just want to remind you that if you use social media on your phone and your computer intentionally and mindfully, there's absolutely no problem. We all love to go on social media. It's not a problem. It does become a problem, however, when you intended to only spend like 5 minutes on Instagram and end up spending 30 minutes instead, and you didn't even realize it. You know, like when you just kind of use your cell phone for 5 minutes, you wanted to use it for 5 minutes, and then you end up spending like way more time without realizing it. That's the problem. You know, time is a very, very precious resource. So just like make sure that when you do something, you do it consciously. And this goes for like any activity. Today was about social media, but just like any activity, like just keep in mind that your time is precious and you should use it on things that matter to you. This way you'll gain so much more time to do things, you know, you really enjoy. So that's it, guys. That's all I had to say today. I would love to hear about some of your tips to reduce the time you spend on social media and your cell phone, for example. So if you use maybe any app blockers, which ones, you know, this way I can have some insights on which ones are best or which one work best for what. So if you want to let me know, you can reach out to me on Instagram or Facebook at Zenly Organized. Or, you can also write me an email at zenlyorganized@gmail.com. Or, I think that this is basically how you can reach me. And, so guys, I wish you a Zenly Organized week and a time abundant week. Make sure you use your time wisely, and I'll see you in 2 weeks with another episode. Bye. Thank you for listening until the end. You can go to zenlyorganized.com to find the episode's notes and all the mentioned resources. That's it for me today. I wish you a Zenly Organized week, and I'll see you for the next episode.